year when I come to Vrindavan, but don't come here. And I was thinking this morning, why don't I come to Radhakund? Because Radhakund is so popular. Now everybody's kind of Radhakund Tilak, Radhakund this, Radhakund that. And the reason that I don't come is because it's not my next step. It's not my next step. I have a lot of steps of progress to make in Krishna consciousness before I'm ready to step into Radhakund and actually have the right mentality to be here. The reason I say that is because Radhakund and Shyamakund are the meeting place of Radha and Krishna. And Radhakund and Shyamakund were discovered or rediscovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose sitting place is over there. And then the personalities who came here and stayed here were all highly renounced, absolutely, supremely renounced. They had no connection with the opposite sex, not at all, and hardly any ladies would be allowed to stay here because they had to have given up everything to do with the material world. Last night I was reading, and perhaps when we get to a place where we're, or even here, I can read you some of the quotes of one great sadhu of that time called Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he was intent on residing in Vrindavan regardless of anything. He didn't care if he was treated badly, if he was treated well, if the local people dishonored him or honored him. He just treated everything in his life as just like neutral and almost you could say nothing. And the only thing that was important to him was to gain the association of Radha and Krishna for service. So I think perhaps we can all examine ourselves and find, well, that's not my that's not my situation at this time. I've got lots and lots of things that I have to deal with or things that I'm interested in other than the service of Radha and Krishna. So then what do I do when I come to Radhakund? And the answer is, the answer is you bow down and bow down and bow down and bow down wherever you go. What are you doing? Hare Krishna. Because even these dogs are great personalities. Even the monkeys are great personalities. And so we need to come into this place with a feeling that I'm actually incapable of understanding anything and this place is beyond my comprehension. And I'm so fortunate to be here. I'm so fortunate to have touched this water which will appear to my eyes as dirty. I'm so fortunate to sit in this place which might appear also to be uncomfortable. I'm so fortunate to visit a temple where the paint is peeling off the walls. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who anyone is, maybe. What am I doing? Follow the leader. If they say come here and bow, I bow. And then I go away, and sometime later I think, oh, I went to that place. Oh my gosh. Now I know who that person is, or this person is, or now I understand something. Because our Krishna consciousness, it's going to become gradually more and more advanced. We have one very friendly dog over there. He wants to play. Very playful. You see the ladies when we come in with the blankets and the little boys and everyone goes chasing after us and you can sense that some of them need a blanket and some of them just want to take something. But they're all here together in this amazing place. And if you're careful, you can get your blanket into the hands of somebody who'll be very grateful for it. Not just, ah, good, I got one of these, now I'm one of these, one of these, one of these. And similarly in our Krishna consciousness, as we make advancement, we have to become very grateful for where we are and what we have. and try and do the best we can with it, whatever it is, wherever it is. It's not the important thing is to achieve some kind of a high mark, like it would be if you were studying in school or university. And it's not that across the board in the society everybody has to be such and such or this or that. It's that each one of us has to be moving towards the mindset that I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that nothing in the whole creation, this is a big statement, nothing in the whole creation is suitable for us. It's not suitable for us. It will not make you happy. So you have the full freedom and love of Krishna to say, you go try it. You don't have to take my word for it. You go try it. And the interesting thing is, in the short term, we might feel happy. You say, no, I'm doing great. My job is good. My life is good. My children are good. Everything is good. But here's the catch. That time is pushing you all forward like on a treadmill. It's pushing and pushing and pushing you forward. And what has already happened to you in your life is gone. You can't get it back. It's eerie when you stop and think. It's gone. Your childhood is gone. Your babyhood is gone. Your teen years may be already gone. So where is it? Where did it go? Where do I find it? Where's the tangibility in our life? And when you get to my age and your teeth are almost gone, your hair is falling out, you think, what was that all about? And for maybe up to 40 years, let's say 40 years is the beginning of old age. 40 years. So how many of you are just finishing with your youth and you're about on the threshold of old age? 40 to 50, Prabhupada said, is primary old age. And then 50, 60, 70, then you're getting to be, yes, you're getting to the real thing. And after that, who knows what's going to happen next. And the whole world is, going on trying to avoid the difficulties that are inevitable, inevitable. So when that sinks into us and makes us kind of more thoughtful, not that we have to be sort of sour and miserable, but it just balances things for us. It should leave a little space for us to say, well, is there anything more? Is there something else? If this doesn't work, what does work? This is a very intelligent question. It's not that Prabhupada would say negative things about the world, which is actually very exciting, and try to say, come out from there, but he had no alternative. He would say, yes, this looks very exciting, but it's temporary, and over here we have something extraordinary. Something extraordinary meant for you. Something extraordinary beyond this world, beyond the world of time. Just that thought is extraordinary. That I could be in a place where there was no past, present, and future. It was continuously present. That's the spiritual dimension. And that's where we are meant to aim our lives towards. I want to find out about that. I need to find out about that. And then when we come here to Radhakund, then we bow down and we pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani and the great, great, great renounced personalities who lived here on next to nothing. And we hear in the prayers to the six Goswamis how they were wealthy beyond our imagination. Either they were wealthy from their family was fabulously rich, or they were in political positions of respect, and they had everything that was available in the way of luxuries at this time, and they gave it all away. Tuchavat is the word. Like it was just like grass. Have you seen somebody mowing the grass and then they pick it all up in something and throw it all away? So this is how they gave up modern, at that time, wealth and society, respect and so forth. And they came here and they wore just loincloths. And sometimes it is said that Srila Rupa Goswami used to take, anyone gave him new cloth, he would ask them to take it to the Jamuna, dig a hole in the water, in the sand, place the cloth in the sand, fill it up on top, and then pour on Jamuna water, and then take the cloth off, a nice white cloth. What color is it now? Then he would accept it. He didn't want any luxury, even just a new piece of cloth. So was he crazy? Was he crazy? Was he brainwashed? Was he retarded? What was his problem? And Prabhupada says, they were tasting such happiness from the spiritual realm, they were accessing that, that they just had no interest in anything of this world. So that's not us. I know it's not me. I'm assuming, please excuse me, that it's not you also. I'm not there yet. But there's a pathway, and we're treading it. So we came into the place of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the emblem of renunciation. He's so renounced that it's uncomfortable for us to even hear about. So Raghunath Das was the only son of a father and an uncle who were very, very, very wealthy. And they arranged his marriage to a beautiful young Bengali girl. They had him married. He had all the wealth that he could imagine. But he wasn't interested in that. And when he heard about Lord Chaitanya, and when he was living at home, he ran away. And his father and his uncle found means to bring him back. And when they brought him back, then Raghunath Das, he didn't want to have anything to do with his family. And so then he wrote a letter to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, just act as a gentleman. Just go on with the family affairs, whatever they may be. And eventually Krishna will free you from this situation. And so he did. He became reliable again, responsible again, helping his father and uncle in their work, and they became relaxed and they didn't have a worry about him. But at one point they realized again he's becoming restless, he wants to go to Sri Chaitanya. And his mother said to his father, we should put him in chains. It's the bonds of love. We should chain him up. If we chain him up, he'll stay home. If we don't, he'll leave. And his father said, we already gave him the most powerful chains you can imagine. We gave him a wife who looks like a heavenly Devi. If he can break that chain like this, then what good are your metal chains? And eventually, Raghunath Das became determined, focused, that he had to go and join Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. And Krishna made an arrangement, and he left. And he left without too much difficulty. And when he went to Jagannath Puri and his parents discovered where he was, they wanted to take care of him. And when they wanted to take care of him, they sent an allowance to him. And he received the allowance, and he used it all to have feasts and serve all the Vaishnavas. And he did that for some time, and then at a certain point he refused anymore to accept that money from his parents. And Lord Chaitanya asked his secretary, Swarup Damodar, what is Raghunath doing now? And he said, now he stands outside the Jagannath temple, and he holds up his cloth and he begs. And if somebody gives him something to eat, he accepts. And he just remains there. That's how he eats. That's how he takes care of himself. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is good. And then some time passed, And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't see Raghunath anymore begging outside the Jagannath Mandir. What is happening? And then Swarup Damodar said, he felt like begging outside the temple. It was a little bit like, it's sort of like a prostitute or something. Uh-oh, we've got a serious monkey here. We should be aware. The monkeys are quite serious.
No problem.
Yeah. We have people to take care also.
Radhe Radhe Mata.
Radhe Radhe. Oh, Mohan. So he stopped begging outside the mandir, and instead he would just take the food that was left over. Whatever was left, he would take it. And then he stopped doing that. And what he was doing was he was taking the prasad that was rotten, and they'd give it to the cows. And he would go there and he would take it, and he would take it to the beach, to the ocean, and he would wash the grains of rice and wash off all the pieces that had become rotten, and he would eat only the core of the grains of rice that were left. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he was astonished. This is most extraordinary. This is the highest level of renunciation. There's nobody who exhibits renunciation like Raghunath Das Goswami. And when he came here, he was living at Radhakund and just constantly crying and crying and crying, writing and crying. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? And he's written some wonderful works for our benefit. And one of them, which is very nice, which is on our level, that's for our learning, is called Vrajvilas Stav. And in that book, he introduces us to all the residents of Vrindavan in just sutra form, just a verse, a verse, a verse, a verse. But when you read these books, when you read them time and again, you start to feel as if you know who they're talking about. And then you're starting to build, like, you know, if I don't know about in your background, but a lot of times nowadays they offer to the families dolls' houses. And you have a miniature house, and you open it, and it has furniture, and it has little plates, and little pieces, and little figures, and everything. Miniature, a miniature version. So these books will give you a miniature experience of Vrindavan, that Vrindavan. You just know a little, 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 but you hold that, and you think about that more, and then you'll know a little, 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 little bit more. And gradually you come to a point where Vrindavan starts to become real. To you it's completely real. To other people, these are stories, but to you it's not stories, it's real. And this is how we associate with these personalities. Raj, do you want to speak about Krishnadas Kaviraj?
Sure. I'll just say one thing about Raghunath Das. I was thinking about Raghunath Das Goswami and all the points that Mataji just made. And because we talk about, so his renunciation and his ability to do that was all based on a higher taste, as we talk about, right, the Param Dristva. And when you and the ability to be renounced comes naturally when you develop your Krishna consciousness. Like when I was a brahmachari and I was serving His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami for 1 year, I was his servant. And that was actually helped me decide to get married, because I saw that he was naturally renounced. There was no effort. Yeah. You know, he would take rest after me, and then I'd roll over at 1 a.m, he'd be, you know, and I just, oh, that's renounced. You know, he was just naturally, and it wasn't natural for me. And so Srila Prabhupada, sleeping sometime between 2.5 and 4 hours a night, it was natural, because he would say, this is such a waste of time. But for us, we're telling you, get 6, get 7 hours, whatever you need, so that you can be awake for the katha, because that's where we're at. But for him, it wasn't like, oh, I should really cut down on my sleeping. So renunciation, sometimes we think, oh, so-and-so only ate one banana every day for Kartik. But that's not really the goal. You know, even Prabhupada would say that we fast on Ekadasi, not just to fast on Ekadasi, but then we take that time that we would be spending having a meal and hear and chant about Govinda. So I just wanted to make that connection about we're not tyagis, that's not our philosophy, to become renunciates for the sake of becoming renunciates. But it actually comes very naturally when you have a higher taste. Is that okay? That makes
very
sense?
Much, very important.
Yeah. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, well, I mentioned very briefly, it's just amazing. Probably every one of us has seen the picture of Srila Prabhupada lying on his bed very close to the end of his time with us and still translating. One time Bhavananda Prabhu, you know, because naturally his voice was very weak, and he put the microphone so close that Prabhupada looked at him very lovingly and said, "This is a very special microphone. You have to insert in mouth for it to work." But the effort that Prabhupada did to write these books, I don't know how many of you in my life I've had to do management and then sometimes, you know, give a class or a seminar. It's very hard. It's hard to shift gears, isn't it, Buddha Bhavana Prabhu? It's a different mindset. And it's not, right? It's not easy to shift gears. But Prabhupada, you know, he was running a worldwide movement. And all the headaches, you can't even imagine what we were talking in the ride here. Rabindranath Prabhu once joked that Prabhupada was the only adult in ISKCON at the time. We were all in our 20s, or, you know, teenagers, some of us. And so he had so many headaches, and still, he woke up at 11:30, 12 o'clock every day and wrote his books till 3 or 4 in the morning, because, you know, that was the lasting contribution. So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, two major works of his, Govinda Lilamrita, and for us especially the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and how he wrote that at such an advanced stage. I had the quote on my phone, but basically he was saying his hands were trembling, he could barely see, he could barely write, and then look at this literature. It's incredible. And his ability to remember things. So it's not like he didn't have the internet, he didn't have a Veda base. So there's so many verses that are quoted from, for example, the Bhagavatam, and he just had that access to them. It's just incredible. And he did it at this advanced age, well, ultimately for us. But also, I just thought I'd mention that at that time, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a canon. It's our canon. It's our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Because at the time you had Mahaprabhu's followers in Vrindavan, in Bengal, and in Puri. And they all had kind of different moods. And they heard different things from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at different times in his manifest pastimes. Even today, isn't it a little is Mayapur a little different than Vrindavan? Do you feel that a little bit? Right? And then Puri, right? You know, the weather's warm and the beach is there, and, you know. Yeah, and then I'm on the Anamoya platform. I eat, therefore I am. So, you know, I just think of misty dahi is Mayapur, you know, hot paratas in the winter is Vrindavan. So he coalesced, he brought together Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy so that it would be consistent whether you're from Puri, whether you're from Bengal, or from Vrindavan. And so it really is our, you know, I think the word that they use in Christianity is our canon. But our partition, our basis of our philosophy, and it's just Chaitanya Charitamrita is just such a incredible book, and the way it's organized with basically, you know, the first 14 verses are, and then he each of those first 14 verses is a chapter later on, and his explanation of why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and then the pastimes, and it was all based on, not all, it was based, half of it's based on Raghunath Das Goswami and what he heard directly from Raghunath Das Goswami and Surup Damodar Goswami's diary. Is that right? Yeah. So those two things, just an incredible service attitude, really. He was serving whole Mahaprabhu community, trickling down to this day. And then when Srila Prabhupada, you know, chose a book to translate, he could have translated Chaitanya Bhagavat, amazing book. Chaitanya Charitamrita has our whole philosophy along with the pastimes, our whole philosophy along with the pastimes. So that mixture also makes it very sweet, doesn't it, right? Sometimes, you know, in the Adi Lila, you get so much philosophy, and you think, oh, wow, this is a lot of philosophy, right? And, you know, all the different Vishnus are explained and this and that, you know, but then you say, okay. Now, after you get through the first chapter of Madhya Lila, which is kind of an overview, then you start hearing all these beautiful pastimes. Then he mixes it in, because then you have Rupa Goswami Shiksha and Sanatana Goswami Shiksha, and then more pastimes, and then you hear about his relation. And it's a living example of Gaudiya Vaishnava relationships. You know, you just see the sweetness. Virjan Prabhu was saying that the other day when he was talking about, you know, we hear the pastimes like of lifting of Govardhan Hill, but he said one thing we can focus is on the relationships Krishna was having with the gopis at that time, with the cowherd boys, with Indra, right? So similarly, Virjan Prabhu has been studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the last 2 years, something like that. And he really goes into a lot of depth about the rasa, the relationships that are happening, not just the pastimes, but what's happening between him and Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu and who was the one that he chastised, that David?
Junior
Haridas chastised, yeah. No, but the one who tried to correct Sanatana Goswami. Was it Jagannath? Yeah, anyway, yeah. But all the different relationships. Yeah. So it's just, it's really, Prabhupada, I like to always say, maybe end with this, is that Srila Prabhupada gave his most valuable time, right? The morning, we all know, the best time to chant japa is at 5:30 at night. Or eight, you know, you ever have like 9 at night and you still have 3 rounds left? Right. No, the morning hours are the most precious hours for pretty much any devotee. And Prabhupada gave his most precious hours to translating his books. And he specifically wanted to give us Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so the way to honor Srila Prabhupada is to take the time to study his books. And in this case, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita is a wonderful way to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada in that way. And there's so many practical instructions there about how to become devotees. Is that all right, Lance?
Yes, thank you so much. So just in brief, because it's a very wonderful lila, the creation of Radhakund and Shyamakund took place after Aristasura came to Vrindavan on the word of Kansa, and Krishna killed him. And then the gopis said to Krishna that you have killed a male cow. And Krishna said, no, he was a demon. And they said, no, you have killed a male cow. We cannot dance with you because you're contaminated. And then Krishna said, oh. Then he said, so what do I have to do? And they said, you will have to go and bathe in all the holy waters and the holy places all over the whole universe. And then we will dance with you. And Krishna said, yes, I can do that. And he called all the sacred waters from all the different places. And they all came in a personified form. And he asked them, he dug with his heel, he dug in the ground and made the hole, and then he called them all in, and the waters poured into the place. Then, after that, then Krishna said to them, so now we can dance, now you can dance with me? And they said, well, if you have your kund, we also have to have our kund. And so they decided to compete with him and make their own kund. They got pots and they came all the way from Manasi Ganga in Govardhan with a line of girls carrying pots to fill in their kund, which was made with the bangles. And then Krishna said, no, don't worry. I can just have the water from my kund come into your kund. And they said, we can't do that. The water from your kund, you bathed in your kund, so that water is contaminated by you. So we will make our own kund. And then Krishna, after some exchange backwards and forwards, then Krishna, they allowed Krishna to have the waters from Shyamakund enter into Radhakund. Yes, you know, it's interesting, in places that are particularly sacred, sometimes there'll be something that appears to be dangerous, like a big, heavy monkey that looks like he's been in the gym for a long time. And you have to always just go Radhe, 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 and don't make eye contact with the monkeys. And just keep your head down and keep moving. And if there's somebody standing in your way, then just wait until somebody local comes and moves the monkeys on. This is just one of the protective elements over a very precious place. So, Gokulraj, what else would you like me to speak briefly upon? Bhaktivinod Thakur. So, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, I think maybe everybody here knows who he is, but if you're not familiar, he is the father of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktivinod Thakur was living just at the end of the 1800s, 1900s. He passed away in 1910. And he had a gifted and a difficult life, born in a super wealthy family, extremely wealthy family. And then slowly through his childhood, family members passed away, his brother, this one, his father, and so on. Until by the time he was around about 20 years old, there was him and his wife that he married when he was 12 years old, and his mother, three left from all the family. And he struggled greatly with poverty and how to get an education. Although his family was well respected, they were very poor. But it was predicted by one of his grandfathers that by the time I think he was 25 or 29, he would find himself in a very prestigious position, which he did. He became a district magistrate under the British government. And so he was posted in different parts of Bengal and at one point even in Orissa. And he was very distinguished, very educated, spoke excellent English, totally honest, beyond a bribe. And he was so amazing in his intellect that he could hear 50 cases in a day. And then he would go home and make his decision on every one of them. So he finished them all in a day. Now, if you've ever heard about or dealt with the legal system in India, you'll know that it's not like that. You go with a case and it will take you months and months and months before there'll be a decision. But he was so honest and so strong and so highly regarded by the British for his character. But also, internally, he was a very deep and serious devotee. And he wrote many beautiful books that are available even to us today. He wrote songs, he wrote poems, he wrote books of education, books that were sort of philosophical and helpful, and books that were very esoteric about the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna here. And his contribution is enormous to our line and to the world, actually. So perhaps we'll get to visit his place for
maybe
a moment.
Maybe it's a little far for 50
high.
People.
Okay. Well. Maybe. Yes.
If we don't, then if you come back here, you can absolutely.
Okay. All right. It's a maybe. But there is a place here where he stayed called Swananda Sukhita Kunj, which is also available to take darshan of at a different time.
I'll mention one thing about that place.
Yes, please.
There's one
very, for us, very significant thing that his bhajan kutir here. And you may, don't laugh because it's not funny actually, but there's a Western toilet. Now, you may just think, big deal. But I think that has huge significance for us, not about toilets.
Work.
It doesn't work, yeah.
It's just sitting there.
Right.
It's not functioning.
but the point was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially, he was not at all shy to adjust details of our tradition to accommodate the audience. And you know, so he didn't have anything Western, this, that. No, it's only spiritual if you have an Indian toilet, you know. No, that's a better... So, he wrote the Krishna Samhita, especially in a way to attract the intelligent... He was a preacher. And he was thinking of the intelligentsia in Bengal at that time, right? And so, like us, is there anything in the books about a TSI? No, the detail... Of course, there is about Vaishnava Sangha, or what to speak of, a KC Sock, I'm sure... They didn't have that name, right? But and so many devotees do so many, you know. Listen to the way Buddha Bhavana Prabhu, brings Krishna consciousness into the realm of our understanding and even our education, and devotees do. You look around. I'm sure all of us do so many things. Mahaj, she when she was in seventh grade, she did a bake sale. And I don't for the cows in Washington D.C. I don't think bake sales are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, per se. But the idea was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur really ingrained this into our, the rest of our disciplic succession of using everything in Krishna's service. And that leads us to Srila Bhakti 1935. And Srila Prabhupada is walking here with his Guru Maharaj. And his Guru Maharaj is not talking about Radha and Krishna Leela to him. He said, what did he say? If you ever get money, print books. Now, did that one sentence have any impact on the world? Right? But he gave a very practical, the printing press is now in full function in the world. Use that in Krishna's service. So, I always take that toilet just as a symbol of our idea of Yukta Vairagya. And actually, it's Falgu Vairagya, or incomplete renunciation to renounce something that can be used in Krishna's service. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was just such, if you study his life carefully and the devotees in Oxford, one devotee has written a book on, it's so inspiring for us to see how modern he was and how he brought Krishna consciousness into modernity.
It's interesting to compare the extreme renunciation that Raghunath Das Goswami is famous for. Of course, we see that the two things came from the same root, which was their extreme devotion. But extreme renunciation, not even eating what we would call a proper meal. And over here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Shuddha Bhakti Siddhanta, who would wear a warm coat with buttons. We think, whoa, we're all wearing warm coats. But he was a sannyasi at a time when you weren't supposed to wear any cloth that was sewn. He would wear a warm cloth. He would ride in an automobile, which was unheard of at that particular time. And he would have a Western toilet. So between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son, Bhakti Siddhanta, this was the other extreme example of the same kind of renunciation. The same kind of renunciation demonstrated here was demonstrated there. And quite naturally, this demonstration, as you're speaking of Braj, this demonstration is highly relevant for us because this one is beyond our comprehension. But this, to use whatever we have, to do whatever we can with the intention of pleasing Krishna, is the way that the whole world can be revolutionized. And we have to live that in our own lives, and then we can share that principle with others. So now we are going to?
We're going to do a little kirtan as
yes.
We walk to Radhakund.
Yes.
Over there we have one of the Radhakund Vasis who's going to do a small puja with Mother Jagatrini.
Yes.
And then you're going to have a chance to just sit and chant. It's isolated time. We've heard the katha, so any of the meditations you've captured now, again, this is a chance to go deep. And so we'll spend a good 45 minutes over there, ideally sitting together, so that it's a way to keep the other. He said he's going to very helpfully protect us from.
That's very important, by the way.
People that come here or there. And so if we sit together, but just again, our own meditation, close your eyes, focus in. This is again that shift in the retreat. And then what we'll do is we'll make our way back over here next to Shamakun. And next to Shamakun, we'll do Kirtan. And then that from there, we'll get back on the rickshaws and go. So just now is a chance for us to go internal individually and then internal together.
And you introduce a Mohan Panda.
This is our dearest friend Mohan Panda, and he has kitna saal se yahan reh chuke
hain. I am born here.
He is
my
born
father
here,
born,
raised
grandfather,
here.
Grandfather,
everything
grandfather,
is here.
Dhambasi. Mataji know me long time.
Long time, little boy.
Na ki wahan pahunch ke.
Na na koi baat nahi, wahi baat hai. Na bhi tha.
Sunaiye sab sunenge fir nahi to.
राधा रानी की जगत गुरु शिला प्रभुपाद की श्यामा कुंड राधा कुंड नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशंस गोलोक टू बेटर ओनली वन प्लेस ऑल ऑफ यूनिवर्स बैंक ऑफ राधा कुंड हाउ यू लकी यू डोंट बोलो राधे राधे एंड प्रे टू राधा रानी एंड राधा कुंड नो डिफरेंस योर इष्ट धन प्राण धन गौरंगा महाप्रभु स्पीक टू नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर शिक्ष गोस्वामी जय राधा से कुंड भेदनाई 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 वैकुंठ लोका नंद नंदन नंद कुमार चीस्ट लिविंग राधा रानी एंड ब्रजमंडल राधा कुंड एंड दिस राधा रानी एंड दिस राधा रानी नो डिफरेंस नो डिफरेंस नो डिफरेंस यू प्रे राधा रानी हे दयामयी दया यू कम अगेन एंड अगेन विद वैष्णव ठाकुर ब्लेसिंग यू गॉड गोविंद कृष्ण कृपा बोलो राधा रानी की गिरिराज महाराज की जो दिस इज श्यामा कुंड राधा कुंड टू आईज फ्रॉम गॉड श्यामा कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन मधुर मधुर बंसी बाजे यही वृंदावन दिस इज मोस्ट सीक्रेट प्लेस ऑफ ऑल ब्रजमंडल्स सो मेनी बेस्ट दिस इज सुपर बेस्ट ओनली जस्ट यू रिस्पेक्ट प्रे राधा रानी ब्लेस यू माय डियर योर एनी योर डीप थिंग्स यू नो रिपीट एनी पार्ट यू स्पीक हियर हे दयामयी दया करो हे कृपामयी कृपा करो कृपा मर्सी सी नो नीड प्लेन नो नीड वीजा हिज मर्सी गो एवरीवेयर Just you pray your families and come. Mataji, Brajavasi, Giriraj, Maharaj ki. High great place, nectar of devotions, Shyama Kund, Radha Kund. Two bodies, one heart. Pure nectar part. Many great, great Vaishnavas living here. Deep and deep and deep tapasya. Hari Naam, Govinda Naam, Krishna Naam, Vallabhacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimmarkacharya, Madhavendra Puri, Gadadhar Pandit, Five Panda brothers, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Nirottam Das Thakur, Loknath Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, many great Acharya. Nitya Lila, Ei Kunde, Nitya Krishna, Radhikara Sange, Jolla Jolla, Kheli Kore, Tira Raswa Rangi. Every day Krishna with Radharani's Manasa Pavan Ghat, 10 o'clock, 42 minute, Madhyan Lila, bathing, swimming. Ei kunde nitya krishna radhikara sange jalla jalla kheli kare tira ras rangir eight gopi raining flowers different colors after radharani goes surya kund worship to krishna surya narayan come back malihar kund making malahar sri govinda nani house grandmother house mukhra devi after pasa khela sri kundu tire pasa khele kishori kishor aur khelte khelte here gelo shyam कुंजे कुंजे होलो राधा राधा नाम भगवान लेस मैच राधा रानी बीम मैच श्री कुंड तीरे पासा खेले किशोरी किशोर खेलते खेलते हेरे गेलो श्याम कुंजे कुंजे होलो राधा राधा नाम दिस एट गोपीज कुंड यू रिस्पेक्ट ऑल पार्ट यू लिव लॉन्ग गॉड कृष्ण गोविंद हेल्प यू एंड यू कम अगेन एंड अगेन एवरी मंथ माय डियर विद वैष्णव ठाकुर जगत तारिणी माता चिल्ड्रेन ऑफ शिला प्रभुपाद बोलो जगत गुरु शिला प्रभुपाद की राधा कुंड धाम की राधे राधे
So, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to do a simple RT. What you do in what the Bengalis do is they all hold on to each other. They hold on to a cloth, and the next one holds on, and the next one holds on. It looks rather funny, but in this way, they have the mood that we're all making this offering, not just one person. So the offering is made by many. We can take the water from Radha Kund, place it on our head, Some people who are very self-realized can place them in their mouth. That's up to you. And bow down when we come to the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And possibly we will go Radhakund, Shyamakund, and sometimes we go Radhakund, Shyamakund again. So, I, as I said, I haven't been here for a very, very long time. I feel very honored to be here. So we will all be together in doing whatever we can do best.
So just to be clear, that's considered a thorough snan or bathing by taking three drops on your head. And Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master actually wouldn't bathe. He did, when he put in the positive, that's how he would bathe, by taking drops of water on his head. So what's good enough for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is good enough for us.
So shoes off.
One year, Mataji.
And then it'll be safe.
Here, many small children, any monkeys.
And then